I'm thankful that God has such a wonderful plan for my life and that I get to see it slowly start to unfold by going into His Word. And while recently we've been coming to this church, I've jumped in with both feet into ministries like the youth band, and I'm so blessed to be on the team with those people, and I'm so blessed to have someone like Alex Passos be the one who's directing all of this because she is so amazing. I'm so thankful for her, and I'm thankful that God places people like that into my life to be mentors toward me.
I have been a Christian as long as I can remember and have grown up at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and so far through my life, God has spared me all these trials and tribulations. I still got time to have my own, but so far he's blessed me, and I haven't had any big things happen in my life like that. And I gotta say, I'm truly thankful for that, where God has definitely protected my life from so many different things, or he's keeping me safe. I'm so thankful for that.
I am thankful for God, obviously, but I'm super thankful to God that He is constantly pursuing me. No matter what I do or what I'm going through, I just know that He's constantly chasing after me. And that's something that just fills me with peace, knowing that no matter what I do or fall into, the Lord is constantly coming after me, and He wants to pursue me, and He desires to have a relationship with me. And it's just been super, it's eye-opening to me to know that God actually cares that much about us, to pursue us even when we don't think He is. And it's reminded me that I need to constantly be pursuing Him.
You know, as oddly as this sounds, it would probably have to be 2020. just because of all the, you know, turmoil that took place. And in my life, I would have to say that it was a year of revival. I had one foot in and one foot out with my relationship with God and church and scripture. And that year I lost my dad. And my dad was very strong, you know, believer in Christ. And I grew up around my dad's word and good gospel, you know. And, you know, when I lost him, it was just a calling for me to have that relationship back in my life that I was missing with my dad. And, gosh, all the things that happened last year, it brought me back to church, which brought me back to a relationship with Christ. And I was saved last year. And I'm so thankful for a place where the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. You know, I know my dad is in heaven, and he would be happy that I'm here. Thankful for 2020, and I'm thankful for every day that that I'm here, you know, living for Him and glorifying Him.
I'm thankful for the pastors here at church, Pastor Shadrach, Pastor Joel, and honestly, all of the high school and junior high leaders. They exhort all the students to just love and serve God unconditionally every single day. We wouldn't be the same without them, honestly, and it's just been a blessing, and I thank God for putting these hilarious, kind people into our lives.
I'm thankful for this church and our pastor, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Pastor Jack has always been the watchman on the wall. And because of his leadership and his boldness and his, especially now, his way of connecting the Bible to the world, showing us how to navigate this life. During the pandemic, out of 40, there was only two, three, four of us who went to work every day. I was not afraid. I was ready. I felt bold, and I felt I was able to lead the people that I supervise. I was able to lead them and guide them and show them how to not be afraid. But I could not have done that if Pastor Jack had not been the one who prepared the flock, his flock.
We moved out here specifically for this church. And we had moved to Portland, Oregon at the beginning of 2020. And throughout the chaos of that year, the benefit of that was it really brought us back to God in a big way. And through watching Pastor Jack online was a huge piece of that. And we really decided we wanted to grow in our faith. And so we moved to Chino Hills and started attending church. And we are so grateful for the classes and the resources available here at the church. Specifically, New Beginnings was a great class with Pastor Dennis, where we're so grateful that we were able to get a good foundation in our faith and be able to grow and have different tools and resources so that we could further develop in our faith from there. And then the second thing is the call ministry. And back in Portland, we wanted to be able to talk to people about God, but we had no idea how to do it. So by able to go through the call, we now have the ability to go out there and preach the gospel to people. And for that, we're so grateful.
And so overall, we're just so grateful to the church and to Jack and to the church family. And most importantly and abundantly, to God.
Wow, that's amazing.
I'm thankful to be here during this time. I'm thankful to be able to watch my kids grow up. I went through a very scary health situation in June, and for a few minutes, my family didn't know if I was going to make it. And after that, you know, it was hard to fall asleep. It was hard to not relive that situation. And, you know, I lost my peace for a long time during the summer. And I started falling asleep to worship music and just the songs over and over talking about how God is, you know, he's with us in trial. He is the Prince of Peace. And that has been so comforting to dwell on that, to thank God, to spend time with God, and realize that we're not supposed to be anxious, and that only happens when we come to him and submit our issues before him, our anxieties, our worries. And his word says that he'll never permit the righteous to be moved. So I'm just very thankful to be here, to know the Lord, and to just enjoy my life with my family and my friends.
Back in 2020, went through a hard, difficult time. Had some deaths in the family, but also last Thanksgiving, I spent driving home by myself, and I was going through a separation with my wife at the time. So grateful to God this year for all the things he's done in my life over the past year, and brought back into my life, and the things that he's taken out. That time of separation allowed me to see and reflect upon the anger that I had built up within. Anger that was unrighteous, and anger that I had towards myself and my family members, and sometimes my wife. Through a walk of repentance, so to speak, I reached out to the church, and I also got some professional help, and really cultivate or dig up the soil that had hardened in my heart. When you think about the parable that Jesus talked about with the seed and the separate soils, the soil that I had in my life had been trampled upon and hardened. So I needed to break that up, refocus. Oftentimes I would come home from work and have a few drinks to kind of put aside what I thought the world had done to me, but really, I was just covering up and coping, and now I see how much the Holy Spirit is quenched by that action. Moving forward, my wife came home a few days before my daughter's second birthday. A few months later, we celebrated the birth of our second child, our second daughter. Wow. And that ministry at home has just... Not only has it multiplied, but it's I can see the fruit growing in my daughters and also the relationship with my wife. So if there's something I'm grateful to God, that's what it is. And then I'll be going home this Thanksgiving with my family.
Awesome.
Last year, God miraculously healed me of cancer when I found out I was pregnant with my son, Zane. A doctor were telling me to abort him, so I'm just thankful for God's grace and his mercy. I'm so thankful that we have a high priest who who can empathize with us in our weaknesses, but did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and have the help in the time that we need it. Mm-hmm. Just like my son can't do anything apart from me, we cannot do anything apart from the Father. So let us remember that this year and just be thankful for that.
There's so much that our family has to be thankful for. And recently there was an incident that happened in our family, but we had so much prayer from our relatives and our friends, and law enforcement also just swooped in and resolved the whole thing. And we went from completely terrified to completely blessed as a result of everybody coming together to help resolve the issue.
Yes, we're just so grateful and thankful. The Lord has truly done a work in our family as a result of this incident. And we just can't thank enough our Heavenly Father and our family and friends and all those that came around, neighbors, cousins that were getting the word out on social media. But we are grateful beyond words. The Lord has done such a marvelous work. What the enemy meant for evil, God has turned for good. And it's just as Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good, those that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So we're grateful this Thanksgiving that we can spend time together as a family.
I'm thankful for my family and friends, and I thank God for loving me every day.
This year, I'm especially thankful for God's goodness and his unchanging word, his unchanging grace, no matter what circumstance. This year has been a roller coaster of many, many highs and many lows, and just through it all, I have been able to just remain anchored on the fact that he is unchanging. Everything around me can change, whether it be a great thing or what seems like a devastating thing in the moment. But regardless of that, I can come back to his word. And I've been able to do that throughout this year. No matter what I'm feeling, maybe moments of despair or even just moments of complete joy, that I can just look back to him and turn to him and know that he is forever good. His word is forever true and his promises stand beyond time itself. So this year, that's really what I've come to be thankful for in a new way, just his everlasting truth and his promises, especially in a changing world.
This past year and how faithful God has been, especially to me and my family. He's blessed me with an incredible wife of 46 years, three children, eight grandchildren, and he's kept them healthy. I am appreciative so much of God's faithfulness. What is really a blessing and I'm grateful for is the opportunity to serve here at this fellowship. It has been truly a blessing to be used in an awesome way, to be his hand extended and to see people's lives encouraged as we meet people from many parts of Southern California coming here and inviting them out to lunch was such a blessing and getting to know them. But the blessing is knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. The blessing is as he uses you to be used as his hand extended. The blessing is to see people's lives change for Christ.
And we have a lot to be grateful for. In the last couple of years especially, there has been so much tragedy throughout the world and economic chaos. We've lost my father this year and my mother has been quite sick. But in that time, I was able to be with my dad as he passed away. And I'm so grateful because he's the one that showed me the way to Jesus Christ. We're also so grateful for this church.
It's hard to find a church that has a special needs ministry and to be able to drop off our boys and know that they're getting God's word taught to them and loved on is everything. And it gives me the peace of mind that they're being cared for and I can go to worship our Lord and hear the sermon and be blessed.
Well, I'm thankful for the people that God's put in my life, my family, my friends, the people that have ministered to me. And I'm thankful that God would prompt people to minister to others, that he would use his people to reach out to others, to share his love, to do all these things. Really is an amazing thing and something I'm thankful for, and I've seen God work over the last year. I'm also very thankful for his faithfulness, just the reliance that as we're kind of looking to the future with some uncertainty and we're not really sure what's going to happen, that we can rely on his faithfulness, that throughout our lifetime, through scripture, he's proven to us and through even through history, he's proven to us that he is faithful and that we can rely upon him and we can look to him in all things. So that's something I'm very thankful about.
I'm thankful that God gave me the ability of teaching and working with children. And I'm so thankful that I have been able or was able to serve with the children in this church in so many different ways over almost 30 years. I was so blessed by it, and I do miss it tremendously. I'm really especially grateful and thankful to God for the family he blessed me with, my brothers, my nieces and nephews, my mom and dad, who are so wonderful, but most especially for my sister Mary, her husband Mark, for Sarah, Sean, and Elizabeth, who are always there for me and watch out for me. And I got to thinking about what Jack said this morning. I'm so blessed that I grew up in America, especially when I did, when it was a wonderful country. And I have to trust in the Lord and know that he is in control, and our country may perhaps become that wonderful place to live again. Mm. God is good. God is great. Thank you, Lord.
I'm thankful for my family, friends, and church. I'm especially thankful for Jesus from healing me from cancer. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
That's great news from little Micah. We got that news this week. He's been battling cancer for years. And, you know, and through all of that, by the way, his parents serve, and dad serves on the worship team. Never stopped, never broke stride, you know, just kept things normal. And I'm grateful for such incredible testimonies like that. Church, before we go any further tonight, and this is just obviously a night of reflection, I want to give you a portion of scripture this evening from Matthew, and we'll have it on the screens, and we'll look at it together. But before I start reading through this, I'm going to give you a little bit of a background to what we're going to be looking at. So when Jesus sat down, that's how the rabbis, that's how the teacher teaches in Israel, which I think is a really great idea. The teachers sit down, the students stand up. And so Jesus would sit down, and he sat down, and he opened his mouth, and he began to teach them, and he gave what is probably the most endearing, precious, and instructive, convicting, comforting. It is the most all-around message known as the Sermon on the Mount. And for many of us who have been there, to this very day, that location, that region of Galilee is untouched. It's not like there were buildings there at Jesus' time that just continued to grow and now they're big high-rises. There were villages. And those villages today, all that's left of them are their foundations, their stones. After 2,000 years. And so the location of where Jesus taught this is pretty well known because it's an area where you can sit and you can speak. And even to this day, the sound waves remarkably carry. So when he sat down, there's only one place for the people to have stood up, and it's the reverse of what you might be thinking. When he sat down, the slope falls away from him, and they're standing, and yet they're looking up at him. And to their backs is the Sea of Galilee, perfectly situated acoustically in beauty. And he gives this Sermon on the Mount, that it doesn't matter what religion you may hold to, even if you are an atheist, that you'd read it and you'd say, man, that is awesome. Even if you were going to approach it as just a literature assignment to do in school, it is amazing. Nothing like this had ever been said before by anybody. And we know that because whatever has been recorded throughout human history is there for public review to go up against what Jesus said. And listen to this, because for me today, and I hope this translates to you, I'm looking out my window at home, and our backyard is somewhat of a nature preserve by design, I guess. So there's trees, and there's a lot of birds and squirrels and life. But wherever there's that kind of stuff, and it's always a lot of it. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how much money I spend a month on bird seed. But Lisa will say, when I'm going to the feed store, again? But I tell her, hey, and this is a horrible thing to say, but my justification is, I don't golf. I don't bowl. I don't do anything anymore. So, you know, that's my thing. It's like, hey, come on, one vice. So it's going to the feed store, and it's supplying these animals. But that setting, also every day, several times a day, there's various hawks. There's red-tailed hawks, big ones, right? They're the big ones. And Cooper's hawks. There's the predators. And I get it. The backyard's full of squirrels and full of birds. That's what they eat. And so, just the other day, I heard my daughter, Dad! So immediately I know this is an animal-related cry. I know this. I go running, and this big hawk is scared away, and there's this little sparrow that is sitting on the patio deck, just mortified, with no tail. The tail was still settling to the ground, really. And so I just walked up there and I picked them up. And, you know, when they get hit by those birds, it's a big deal. And then most of the time they die. And just the impact, because those hawks will strike them first with their knuckles to stun them. And then it's an amazing thing to watch. They'll hit them, it stuns them, and then they grab them. And tragically, they usually eat them alive. This is TMI, I know, but you say, is this a Thanksgiving pep talk here? Well, this little bird that I later found out would be named Esther, because my granddaughter said, this is Esther. So I pick who would become Esther, picked her up, and we put her in a little cage, and knowing she's going to die. But, you know, Emmy's praying and talking to her, and it's all this kind of stuff. And which is always a good thing, if you think about it, for children to relate to animals. It's a very healthy thing. When they're born, living, taking care of them, and when they die, it prepares them for life. And so she knows that. She's gone through this 1,000 times with us. And so what's amazing is Esther is very, very young, just still, you know, they almost have the lips. You know what I mean about the lips on the beak, the yellow? And so, but no tail. And so, but then she starts chirping and yelling and, you know, so that's pretty spunky. She's hopping around and she's going to make it. So we let her go and she just crashes. She can't fly. And it's like, oh no. So we go to scoop her up, but this time she runs into the bushes. So it's like, oh great. So now we're all bummed and we're all concerned and we're praying for Esther. And I break out the binoculars. So we're all of us from time to time are taking the binoculars off the windowsill and we're looking. And lo and behold, there's Esther eating seed. And we stepped out there and she flew up into a bush. And so we're all excited about that. So I made sure I put out more seed in that area for her. Lisa thinks, in fact, she says it. They were here before you were born. These animals can do fine without you. Don't you know that? And so then just the other day, Esther is trying now to get a drink. And we have a pool. We have a swimming pool. So she's trying to get a drink out of the pool. But she's going to, there's no way she's going to get a drink out of the pool. It's impossible. So I put a little thing out there and I make this deal with, and I set the hose up and it's just dripping every so often. And so Esther's there drinking and now other birds are drinking. And tonight, truly, because they all congregate in the evening, they get their last meal in every night. First thing in the morning, that's what we hear. And the last thing at night, tons of birds. And she's out there and she's hanging out with her homies and her peeps for real, and she's coming along. And so then it dawned on me that on the patio table is this other little thing that we got going on, because our backyard is also full of monarch caterpillars. And so we raise monarch butterflies in our backyard. And so I realized, yep, it's almost time to take these chrysalises over to here. We're like, put them over there because this is how that's going to happen and this thing. And so Lisa will say, all of this, you're doing all of this, you're doing all of this. What? And she loves it all too. But, and she's correct. God will take care of them. And I quickly immediately respond by saying he does and he is through me. Here's the funny thing about it. I love it. And to see Esther in the backyard, and pretty soon she's going to start growing tail feathers and the monarchs are going to be coming out of their chrysalises pretty soon, which is always spectacular. And so when I look at a little backyard that God has given me, that I get to preside over that, to see things flourishing, even in a dangerous world, it gives you great comfort. It gives you great peace, even though it's a hostile world, because the hawks are in the trees and they'll come by so fast, too fast. But in the midst of the danger of life, there's these beautiful pleasures and things that are spectacular, right? And we need to be careful as people that we don't focus on the bad or the dangerous or the scary. Because if you do that, you'll be consumed by fear or grief or worry. And even though I'm blessed by tending to these little things, you know, you care. And so you can, I know it sounds silly, but you can like, oh man, I hope, you know, Esther's high enough on a perch tonight from the cats, because at night the cats come and we have a huge possum. He's just ancient. I don't know how old he is. He's so old and his tail is bent at the end like this. And he just walks so slow, and our dog will run out in the backyard and it doesn't even care. It's just, so we make sure we leave enough food out there for him. And it's true. We'll see him. And look, he's out there. Where is he? Oh, there he is. And he's just. So why are you telling us this? Because don't focus on the evil and the dangerous and the death and the pain and the sorrow. You cannot do that. And I would like to say to you tonight, as believers, you're not even allowed to do that. Because if that were the world that God had intended, that's all that there would be. But because there is a whole lot of amazing good right on the other side of the danger, just because a hawk comes through the yard doesn't mean that God is bad or the world is bad. It's a clear understanding that we need to know him, and to know him is to rejoice in him. And his desire back for us is to know the fact that in this dark world and scary place that it can be, that there's so much joy and good and beauty, that's what he has waiting for us. And if we were to die today, would you have that absolute assurance of going to heaven to meet him? And you might say, well, can I even know that? You absolutely can know that. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Just think about that for a moment. There are malls filled with stuff regarding our concern for eating and drinking, right? Nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not your life more than food and your body more than clothing? That's a serious question, people. Because now Jesus, in this precious Sermon on the Mount, is challenging our value system. What's that saying? I don't know it. Is it the clothes makes the man, or the man makes the clothes? It doesn't matter. You're the most handsome guy in church and you're the best dressed every Sunday and Wednesday. So what is that saying? Well, you know, the clothes makes the man makes the clothes. I don't know what the saying is, but the truth of the matter is, it's what's on the inside. Okay? Look at the birds of my backyard. And this is so true, you guys. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. This is so cute. Because when those feeders and stuff run out and they're empty and I go to the store, as soon as I put feed in there, I can tell you within 60 seconds, within 1 minute, they're on it. I don't know where they're at. You can't even hear them. As soon as Uber Eats arrives, they're on it. They don't have to worry about it. I've never seen those birds worry, even when there's hawks in the area. They know where to hide. They know where to go. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of, by worrying, can you add one cubit to his stature? You can't worry about making yourself taller. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. You never hear lilies or roses or orange trees outside. You never hear them grunting and groaning. trying to produce what they do. And yet I say to you, verse 29, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the unbelievers, the Gentiles, that's a term unbelievers seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and what good he wants you to do. What rightness he wants you to do. And all these things, isn't that beautiful, shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Isn't that brilliant? I don't know all of you here tonight. Maybe for some of you, it's the first time you've ever heard that. That's Jesus speaking. Makes perfect sense to you. But take comfort in this. That still in this nation, as messed up as it is, in some way, shape, or form, you will have the opportunity to enjoy a bounty tomorrow. I don't care if you just say, I'm going to go to In-N-Out Burger. I don't know if they're going to be open tomorrow. Is Chick-fil-A open tomorrow? So all the Christian places are closed tomorrow. So whatever, you go. Hey, you know what? Be thankful. Well, I'm just going to stay home and watch the game and have a Swanson's turkey TV dinner. Be thankful you can eat it. But Jesus said, don't worry. And when I think about this portion of Scripture, this passage regarding the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, it's amazing because we have been living in a world that not only has been full of worry, it has perfected worry. And it wasn't that someone was just content to worry about themselves. They weren't happy until you were worrying with them. How many of us have been manipulated by other people to get down into the ditch of their misery because they refused to trust God, to take your life and let him watch over your life? He's promised to do that. And so this Thanksgiving is special because of the things that are going on around us in our world. People will say to you, how can you be up? How can you be optimistic in a pessimistic age? How can you have hope? Don't you know? Yes, I know. I'm very aware. Don't you care? Yes, I care very much. Because have you ever been around someone? Have you been? I remember. My mom didn't know Jesus. She thought she did. And 4 weeks before she died, she gave her heart to Christ. And so I did my mom's funeral service. And I got in so much trouble. My family, most of my family didn't talk to me for almost 3 years. They were so angry at me. You want to know why? I celebrated my mom's life that she, 4 weeks before she died, she accepted the Lord. Mom's in heaven. And my, you know, your sister and all this, she's in heaven. And I'm just rejoicing over the fact. And man, my aunts and uncles, they let me know it. How can you be so happy? How can you have so much joy? You should be down in the dumps and miserable like the rest of us. And all this stuff. And it was so odd. Listen, I understand that for us, If our friends see us not worrying, tonight we got a phone call from some dear, precious saints here in the church, and they said, well, you know, we're grateful for Sunday's message because our house flooded today, and we looked at each other and said, thank God we have a house that can flood. And that's, you know, the neighbors might look and say, are you guys nuts? Have you lost your mind? Your house is wet. Yeah, but you know what? We have a house that can get wet. The world doesn't understand us. We need not worry. So if God put it within us as humans to watch over a little sparrow that lost its tail by getting hit by a hawk, and now think about it. I wasn't aware of that particular sparrow before. There's thousands of sparrows, but none of them have a name. This one's got a name. And this one's got a garden hose that's got a little drip, dripping. It has its own water. I set seed over there right by where it pops out of the bush. All this for a bird. And the world supposedly is populated with more sparrows than any other bird. But in our home, that's Esther. If humans can do this stuff, why would we rob God of loving on you like that? When he tells you over and over again, that's how I love you. Don't worry, I got it. I'll take care of it. So tonight we're going to worship, and as we worship, the ushers and pastors and elders are going to come forward and distribute communion, and we'll take communion together. So I'm going to ask you guys, if when you get the elements, will you hold them, and we'll do it together? But I do know that as they pass this out, they're going to want you to probably remain seated because it's going to be too hard. Can you do that? So if you see somebody, every time I say that, somebody immediately stands up as soon as the music starts. So if you see that person stand up, just pull them down. So, Father, we thank you so, so much for all of your benefits. But most of all, we're thankful for Jesus as little Micah, as everyone on the video spoke. But Lord, at the end with Micah, and I have no doubt that tomorrow he's going to enjoy the mashed potatoes more than ever. He's going to enjoy the noise and sound of family, friends. Father, for that couple that moved from Portland to here just to do church, Lord, those on the screen tonight represent our lives. The loss of loved ones. Tonight we come before you, Almighty God, and we thank you for your provision for us, your protection. I thank you, Father, for this body, these people. I thank you that when we say church, it's not a structure, it's not a parking lot, it's not glass, it's not concrete, it's a living, breathing body. And I ask you, Father, that tonight, as we partake of communion together as a church family, that with this communion there would be healing, healing of the body, healing of the spirit, healing of the mind. And Father, that we would be, from this day forward, I ask of you, Lord, and I have no doubt, I believe, because your word would have this to happen. I know, Lord, that you will answer this prayer, that on this eve of Thanksgiving, that this church from this moment forward would be a more thankful people and a more outspoken people to tell the world what great things you have done. And that you would baptize us, Lord, afresh with your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, as we worship you tonight with thanksgiving, may we make these songs our prayer. In Jesus' name.